You know, all my life I've been bombarded by questions every day. Many of them have been internal. Like, where do I sit today? Do I want to get out of bed today? You know, what do I want to wear? Where am I going to go to lunch? Will Mike Cumbie invite me to lunch today? All those kind of questions are internal within me. Which direction do I want to go today? I hear the traffic's bad on Peachtree Industrial. And these things roll around in my mind, and these questions that really must be answered, but nobody else knows the kind of pressure that I'm under. Then there are external questions that come to us. I didn't realize how much was to be asked before I had children. Toddlers have all kinds of questions. Have you had some of these questions? Daddy, why do bugs do that? How far is the moon? Is the moon made of cheese? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why does my sister not listen to me? Why does my brother try to look at me funny? And why is it that my little siblings steal my toys? Why is it we have to clean our rooms? Why do I have to take a shower? I'm just going to get dirty anyway. Those crazy questions that kids ask, and you're bombarded, and they must be answered. But then there's more serious questions, aren't there? You sit in front of your doctor and they give you a bad report and they say, we can do this or this, and you have to choose. You sit in front of your boss and they say, well, we're having to downsize and we have a severance package, or you have to take a lower position with less money. What are you going to choose? There's those serious questions that we deal with, and we feel the pressure, and we want to make the right decision. It's a question that must be answered. All of us have different questions that have been confronting us over the years, but there is one absolutely essential, what I would call an ultimate question, that must be answered by every one of us. And it was asked by Jesus Christ in the town of Bethany. If you have your Bibles, you can turn in there in John chapter 11. The two verses we'll be focused on today is verse 25 and 26. You'll see those two verses in your printout in the insert of your program, if you have that. The context of these two verses is set in a time that Jesus wasn't at the resurrection. It wasn't past his crucifixion. It was before that. It was when a friend of his had died, named Lazarus. And he had been speaking with Mary and Martha about the death of their brother, whom he's going to call out of the tomb. But he asks an incredible question, the ultimate question. He says, do you believe this? He asked this ultimate question after making some incredibly remarkable claims about himself. In verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? On the day that Jesus rose from the grave, and he was seen by his disciples in a room, actually he appeared to them, and as he spoke with them, and they spoke to him, and as they were able to interact with him, they knew there was a risen Lord, and it was beyond anything they could have imagined. There was one person who wasn't in attendance at that moment. It was Thomas. Thomas wasn't in the room. He didn't get to see him, didn't get to hear him, didn't get to touch him. But this is what I'm not under the assumption of. I'm not assuming that I can convince you that there's a risen Lord. If Peter, James, and John could not have convinced with their eyewitness account to Thomas, he still doubted. I'm not under the illusion that I can convince you either. Christ must reveal himself to you. I may not be able to convince you, but I am called to confront you with this question that Jesus posed. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? My prayer today is that everyone in this room, regardless of where you stand with Christ right now, is that you'll not only listen to the question, but you'll answer it. And you'll think about it very deeply. Even for those believers who've interacted and known Christ for years, really evaluate, do I believe this with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I give my entire life and surrender to the belief that I have in this question that he asks? Do you believe this? Some try to avoid this question throughout their entire life. It's not a question you can ultimately avoid. You will be asked, even if it's at the judgment day. Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday, the ultimate question, do you believe this? I mean, did he ask with different kinds of inflection? I'm not sure, but I'd like us to consider it. Did he ask, do you believe this? After all, it is a personal question, isn't it? Did he ask, do you believe this? It's certainly a pointed question. Did he ask, do you believe this? Being very precise. These claims that I give you, do you believe this? I'd like us to consider all three of these this morning, the personal, the pointed, and the precise statements of Christ. And by the time we get to the end, I pray that we can answer the same as the lady who was asked this question originally, as she says in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Let's search Easter's ultimate question for ourselves in just these two verses. First, I believe it is a personal question. You see the question, do you not? Do you believe this? Emphasis on you. Do you believe this? I know there are others who believe this. Perhaps a spouse who believes this, a child who believes this, a parent or a grandmother who believes this. But Jesus doesn't care if all these other people believe. When he asks you the question, he wants to know what you believe. Do you believe this? Very personal. We do not ride the coattails of other spirituality. It must be personal. Now, I'm thankful that I have benefited from the spiritual lives of others, both close, those who I've known, and those at a distance through biographies that have lived a believing life, a life that is sold out to Christ. I have benefited from them. But I can't internally be changed and transformed until I have personal faith in Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? And I like when you say something back, because you know what? It props me a little bit more to know, let me know you're here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank you. I love that. Interact. I tell you, it is a personal belief that God is asking us about. Do we believe this? There's no spiritual osmosis or transferable spirituality. It must be a conviction of our own hearts. We live in a 21st century Gnostic culture that is very separate from trying to or fully surrendering to the statements about Jesus, or the statements that Jesus even makes about himself. I mean, there's an increasing number of documentaries, books written, movies done about the life of Christ, and they add so much to his life that is not from the scriptures or his own words. They try to create a life of Christ that is so foreign to what the scriptures reveal. I just wonder how personal we would trust his very words. I mean, do we really want to believe that his death was unnecessary? And not voluntary or vicarious for us? Do we really want to believe that he really did not die? It was just a cover-up and he lived to be an older man married to someone else? Do we really want to believe those things created by man and not the very revelation of God when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? Do we really want to believe that the account of the resurrection should be regulated to some myth or fable so many tried to put upon Christ? He didn't leave us that option. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Second thing he gets to is very pointed. He says, do you believe this? It's a very pointed statement. Not only is it personal, it's pointed. He's talking about faith here. Perhaps even as the Lord emphasized this question in Bethany, he focuses on your beliefs. What is it you really believe? We know we're talking about you, but what is your belief? And what is it based on? The New York Times and what they write about Christ? Time Magazine and what they've been producing about Jesus during this time period? Perhaps the Da Vinci Code has regulated your thoughts about what Jesus really is and who he is and what he says. What is it you believe? Very pointed in this question. Faith in Christ is the only acceptable response as he has laid it out and invited you to. He's not inquiring of his hearers here as to whether they are giving intellectual assent to his claims. He's asking, do you trust in him and take him at his word? Do you believe this, that which he has revealed? It's one thing to know the gospel story intellectually. It's another thing to have heard it somewhere and been around the gospel story. It's quite another thing to watch a movie about it or go see a reenactment of the story somewhere. The older children and my wife and I on Friday watched The Passion of Christ. That movie I have not seen since it was in the theaters many years ago. But there's nothing that portrays it quite like that when it just puts the beating of Christ. And it shows his hands being nailed and put up there. There's nothing like that. But even in watching that does not mean that I believe that. Those who watch a movie or go to one of the reenactments, there are those who would even argue and debate for it. But there's a difference between conforming ourselves to a new set of moral standards and being transformed by it in our true essence of our being and our belief. The real issue this morning is, do you believe this? Is it your essence of life to believe that which Jesus has taught, revealed? Has it been your experience, your transformation, your life's calling? Do you believe this? I spoke to someone not too long ago that was sitting in our service and said, something happened to me while I was sitting here and listening to the words of God. Something has taken over. A belief system is transforming this person. That's my prayer for you today. When Jesus looked at that woman, he asked the question of, do you believe this? He looks straight into our eyes and hearts today, and he's asking, what is it you believe? And do you believe this? Have you transferred your trust of yourself and your own good efforts over to Jesus Christ alone? Has he been the substitution that you need for your sin? That your sin is leading you to hell, but Jesus steps in and says, I'll take the penalty. You place your sin upon me, and I'll place my holiness upon you. We'll substitute, we'll transfer. As a saving faith, this resurrected life, this Christ experience in me made a difference in your life, if that is the case. We read it earlier. Dwight Reading from the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's not what you come and give to God. It is what God has done for you. Not a result of your work, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship. He is the one working on us. Isn't that glorious? That so many people in life think that religion or God just wants us to live up to a standard that He might receive us. Let me go ahead and pop that bubble of thought, if that's what you believe. You'll never be holy enough for God. He is excellent and pure and otherworldly. He is so different. And we are so, even in our best days, we're as filthy, dirty, nasty rags. God, in His holiness and in His mercy, has stepped out of heaven through as Jesus Christ. He says, I'll come to you because you could never come to me. And out of my love for you, I want to touch you and change you, transform you. I want to give you eternal life. It's not based on what you do.